Chicago's Afternoon News 720 WGN. We're going to check in with Allie Bradley at News Nation. Austin American statesman investigative journalist Tony Paletsky appeared on CNN. He was there to defend his outlet's decision to release surveillance footage from the Uvalde, Texas elementary school shooting. This is what I was talking about with John Williams. I don't know if you've seen it. If you have seen it, what do you think? I mean, it was a little too much for me to watch, and parents are criticizing that decision.
Well, we obtained the video, and at that point, there was a growing chorus from the governor's office, from the Texas Department of Public Safety, from lawmakers for transparency. And that was consistent with the calls for transparency that we also had been hearing from the Uvalde, from the community, and from family members. And so once we had the video in our possession, frankly, we felt a journalistic responsibility and a responsibility to the public to bring that information to the public as quickly but carefully as we could.
Did you all reach out to the families and speak to the families of the victims beforehand?
Certainly, we made efforts to reach the family members. I do want to say among those we were able to reach, we did, in fact, comply with some of their requests. And to that end, that is the reason that, or one of the main reasons, that we ultimately made the editorial decision to not include the screams. That what the parents conveyed to us is that they did not want the final screams of their children to be heard. And so we did make, again, that editorial decision.
I thought TMZ released it first. And quite frankly, it's not the media who has a choice to release it. Somebody gave it to them. It wasn't in their possession. Allie Bradley, where do you stand on that? I mean, News Nation eventually shared that video, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they shared the clips of it that you're talking about right there. And I can tell you, a teacher from Robb Elementary, not in any of those rooms, but a teacher there that I've been speaking with, she said that, you know, she's all for the release of this video because it might help clarify some things for parents. It might help bring some closure, answer some questions. Now, something that she told me, though, is that she said she saw the 4-minute video that was released, and she said, quote, "Oh my God, I was utterly shocked. I could not believe what I saw." So she went on to talk to me about how some of the families were extremely upset, rightfully so, over this video being released. But then also some of the family members were calling for the release of this video because they did want that clarity. They did want answers. And yes, that goes in line with them wanting transparency as well, as this is an ongoing investigation.
Allie Bradley is with News Nation. She's a reporter. She's been there. She's been covering the story. I know the mayor of Uvalde said he was upset with the footage being released, but he said it's because the families are constantly blindsided, that they were promised they would have an opportunity to view this before it was released to the public. And again, whoever's in charge down there has completely ignored the requests of the parents. It seems like they've been disrespected moment after moment after moment.
But don't you think, Allie, too, that whoever released this to the newspaper played the newspaper, you know, that they were getting this out for their own benefit too, rather than go through the process in the system?
I mean, I think, you know, it's almost been 2 months. They obviously have the footage. They obviously could have released it to the family members and had a kind of transparent conversation with them had they wanted to, right? So with this newspaper and with this publication getting access to this video, there's, you know, the devil's advocate side is, have they not had enough time? And when you see all of these things continuously changing and the frustration from parents there, you know, there is something to be said about that journalistic integrity with releasing something when you do have it. But again, was there not enough time for law enforcement and for the powers that be that had access to this video to have that obligation to sit down with families prior to it being leaked? I mean, that is always a risk that you take. But almost 2 months later, you know, from where I stand, they had an opportunity to share that with family members as they were calling for it, despite this investigation.
Absolutely. And everybody has seen different parts. I haven't really personally talked to anybody who's watched the entire thing. Did you watch the whole thing, Steve?
No, I have not. I've seen very little of it.
Yeah, I watched the part where, I swear, Allie, is there a part where, you know, the police officers, I do not know what exact office they're representing, but I swear there's a part where a guy leaves his post to go use hand sanitizer and then come back.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you kidding me? Children are being shot and you want to sanitize your hands in the middle of what appears to be a shootout?
You know, and I'm going to take a little personal stance on this to a degree because I was watching that part. It is 77 minutes long. That whole video has been released if anybody's willing to go and watch it. But there is that moment that gentleman, you say, leaves his post, but they weren't doing anything. That's clear. There was no action being taken. And it was kind of, you could tell that it was almost a nervous habit.
Right.
Have you ever been at a doctor's office or somewhere and you're like, this hand sanitizer is just there and you just, okay, I'm just going to hand sanitize. I'm kind of giving this guy the benefit of the doubt because I don't know, but it looked to be more of a nervous response that he went over and did that because he just didn't know what else to do. It was a clear lack of training, a clear lack of guidance. When I talk with my resources that I've been working with along the southern border for nearly a year now, the sheriffs that were not directly involved but know very well what the situation is, and they even sent some of their deputies, they say this is a clear dereliction of duty. And the sheriff is the top law enforcement individual in that county. Sheriff Nolasco is fairly new. He was there. His deputies, that was one, I believe he's a sheriff's deputy because I believe the hand sanitizer, what that man was wearing a sheriff's badge from what I could tell. His deputies were inside. Sheriffs have every right to go in and take over that scene. They had every right in every jurisdictional prowess to be able to go in and say, this is now my scene, this is an active shooter, and this is what we're going to do. And they didn't do that either. So there was a clear lack of just of action in any capacity. And from what I can tell, Chief Arredondo, who was the school district police chief, who is taking on a lot of backlash, and rightfully so for that, from what I can tell and what agents are telling me that were inside of that room, inside of that building, was that he was on the other side of the classroom because you do not see him in any of this video. He's a very tall, bald man. That is not a person that you witnessed in there. So he was, as an agent, saying it's confusing as to how he had all of the power to make all of the decisions on the other side of that classroom when everyone was congregated on the side that we can see. So there's still a lot of questions and there's still a lot of issues of accountability. And who is going to be accountable for this when all of the dust settles?
Yeah, the Uvalde school police chief, Pete Arredondo, he did resign last week, but he also said that he didn't think he was in charge that day, and he didn't even have his police radio with him during the shooting.
Mm-hmm. He had left his police radios outside, allegedly because he said that he was running inside and it would have kind of weighed him down. It wasn't clipped on his belt right, and it would have fell off, and all of these things. But that same police chief also said that he tried a multitude of keys and tried a bunch of different things and tried negotiating. You don't even see them attempt to open that door. I have law enforcement sources that say the first mistake that they made was retreat at the sound of gunfire. Every sheriff, every deputy, every agent that I speak with that has had any active shooter training tells me that you run towards the gunfire. They retreated, and then no rescue attempts were made after that. So there are a lot of questions about their duty and what did they actually do and not do. And so for parents to see this, obviously there's going to be outrage and outcry because you watch these people that were sworn to protect and serve, multiple agencies. We had UCSID, which is the school district police, Uvalde police, the sheriff. You had FBI were even in there. You had Border Patrol. You had BorStar and BorTac finally came, which is kind of the SWAT arm of Border Patrol, were the ones that eventually went in and subdued the gunmen. But you had all of those acting agencies, and not one person did anything. And one of my agents said, if one guy would have, excuse my language here, but if one guy would have grown the balls, is what he said, to go in there, others would have followed. Mm-hmm. If someone would have taken it upon themselves to go in and protect and serve and to carry out their oath, others would have followed. And so that's what a lot of my sources are saying, seeing this video come out today, or last night, rather.
I witnessed an 8-year-old being interviewed who survived by playing dead, and he said that they could hear the police officers talking and that children were screaming for them to help.
Mm. That is such a hard thing to hear. And I was one of the first journalists on scene because I was actually working along the border. There wasn't even a perimeter set up. And I was right there at the funeral home where troopers had blood on them. everything had happened so quickly, but to learn what we know now, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But at the end of the day, when you're a law enforcement individual and there is gunfire, you're hearing children scream, children are calling 911. Everybody agrees you have to go in. I mean, it's an active shooter, and that is what you sign up for. And it's probably scary and probably not something that you ever would have thought would have happened in your small community. But the reality is it did. And I asked, you know, these sheriffs and these law enforcement individuals, how does the community come back together and trust these law enforcement individuals? How do they move forward when the people that signed up to protect them won't? And they said that the only way is to basically clean house. You have to basically get rid of all of the law enforcement in that community and start over, because how do you trust those people to show up for you if they didn't show up in that capacity?
Allie, thank you so much for your excellent reporting, and thanks for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Thank you so much. Be well.
You see her on News Nation. Steve has your news coming up next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.